Awesome. We are live on the Side Quest, specifically talking about video games and getting banned from Twitter. And we're going to say, fuck the Maritimes. That's what we're going to say, right?
Well, I live here.
Well,
so
you live in
yeah.
Yeah. Maybe not fuck all of them, I guess.
No, yeah. That's fair. And probably for anybody considering travel plans, also wise. go elsewhere. Take it from me.
Go elsewhere for anyways. Just go elsewhere anyways, really. Hey, everybody. I'm Dolly Domofsky. Hey, you're listening to The Side Quest.
Dolly, look at this. I ordered Chinese food the other day, and they gave me wooden utensils, and I broke them.
What?
This is a broken knife, a broken wooden knife.
Oh, my God. Did you get splinters in your mouth, Aaron Scratty Bones Kelly?
No, it broke at the back. So it's just okay. There's no handle, but it's also it doesn't cut.
It's a shiv now. It literally is a shiv right now. You were drunk, and now you're no longer inebriated. Now you're just hungover.
Yeah, I went to I didn't feel like cooking. And by didn't feel like cooking, what I mean is I went to the grocery store and they didn't have any groceries because all the fucking shipping is backed up. So I was like, I guess I'll go to the pub and
yep.
I get to the pub and they're like, we don't have your beer. I'm like, I guess give me something else. And they gave me something decently more alcoholic, but I don't like the taste. So I just drink them very quickly. So by the end of my meal, I was very drunk. And that was when we were tweeting. And now I've since come down from that drunk. And now I just kind of have a vague headache. So I'm going to remedy that with a little bit of Fireball.
Oh, nice. You're going to go the cinnamon route. I'm going, instead of Fireball, I'm using Screwball. And this is a peanut butter whiskey.
I could go get the Baileys out of the fridge, but I don't really want to mix cream rum and beer. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You got wasted on earlier. Well, we're going to get wasted on video games, maybe.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of news, but we'll get to the news. We'll talk a little bit about what we've been playing. Might be a shorter show. I know everybody's on Twitter celebrating right now. Bottoms up. What have you been playing? I'm trying to remember what I've been playing. What have you been playing? Oh, you know, I'll start. Wait, I will start. Very proud dad moment. And unfortunately, Sam and JJ are not here. Sam's still moving in, doesn't have a computer or electricity. And JJ's doing a Lego set. But my proud dad moment is that my daughter, my 11-year-old superstar, for her sixth grade class and her math class, they're doing the online learning stuff, right? And part of their assignment is to do Picross puzzles, like math-based Picross puzzles, because it's actually very good for like younger kids to learn puzzle solving skills, especially when it comes to numbers and stuff. And so she's doing Picross puzzles. And I walked by and I didn't know she was doing this. I walked by and I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, I think it's called Pixocross through her school system, whatever the online website is. And I'm like, what do you mean? She says, yeah, it's like these little math puzzles we have to do. And I stopped and looked at it and I'm like, holy shit, these are Picross puzzles. They're like 6x6 Picross puzzles. And I've never been and she was zipping through them. I'm like, I've never been prouder than in my entire life than watching my daughter do Picross puzzles and nailing them. And of course, they gave her, yeah, it was awesome.
Can I let you in on a terrible secret?
What's that?
I'm very bad at them. I can't do Picross puzzles.
Well, I'll say this. She started at 6x6 puzzles. And pick it up from there. Then the happier moment was when I walked by and later on that day and she had graduated to 7x7 puzzles. And she loves doing them. And that was her first day doing them. And she's like, oh, these are great. And it was pretty damn awesome. I told her I'm going to get her on the Picross games. And I'm going to install the Picross stuff from Konami that Sam and I have been playing. I'll put that on her little iDevice. And yeah, it'll be great. Wonderful. Thank you, Picross. That was my proud dad moment. I just wanted to share. Oh, JJ just tagged us. Oh, shit. He got the Ghostbusters Lego set. You son of a bitch, JJ.
He didn't tag me for shit. Oh, there he is. What is that, the Ecto-1?
That is the Ecto-1.
Well, that explains why he's not here. Now, what explains why Jeff Grubb's not here, given that I went out of my way to invite him?
How could he not be here? There's no news to talk about on any of his stupid, awesome podcast.
No, I'll tell you what he's doing. He's out there making predictions that are going to come true, because that's apparently something he's amazing at.
We should plan our prediction show, like an actual full-on prediction show, because we didn't really have the E3 show that we wanted to do. So, and we kind of touched a little bit on it last week, just some premonitions, but we should do a full-on prediction show next week. I think it'd be a good idea.
Yeah.
All right. What have you been playing?
Not a whole hell of a lot. I downloaded and installed that new Zachtronics game, Nerds Online.
Oh, which weird.
It's like multiplayer house rule solitaire, but I don't think you can play it by yourself. Like, I think it has to be played with people. So I booted it up and I tried to just make a lobby for myself just to figure out exactly how it mechanically played, and I couldn't play. And the only lobby I could see was one being hosted by Kyle Orland, which was full.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I guess I can't jump in there because he's full of people. So I'll try again later. So I had that turned on. That probably counts. I've been playing a lot of Story of Seasons, Friends of Mineral Town, that Harvest Moon game.
Oh yeah, that's the one that Zach and
The game that I could not believe cost $70 because it's a remake of a Game Boy Advance game, and yeah, it is. I didn't pay $70 for it. I got it like 75% off over the Steam sale.
That's at least you got it that for that cheap price. That's good.
That is the only price that is it had. If that game had been less than 75% off, I don't think I would have bought it.
Huh.
I don't like the value proposition for that. It's not there. Maybe if it was a new game, but we're talking like this is the kind of game where, like, you know how these games have like once or twice a season, there's like a festival or whatever. And like, sure. You know, you run to the festival and play the mini games and everybody's there. This is the type of game that's so old that you run to the festival and there's like six of the 20 odd characters who live in the town there because they don't have enough in the original game. They don't have enough RAM to get all the characters on screen. Like that's the kind of game this is up, like turn into like, you know, cute 3D graphics for this version of it. And they made a few mechanical changes, but other than that, now it's just old school Harvest Moon, which is fun. Yeah. I can't really complain about it. I knew what I was getting into. It's not like they build it as like, oh, here's a brand new Harvest Moon. Like, no, this is a remake of.
See, it's a remake, I guess you could say, as a remake.
Yeah.
It's not even like a super exorbitant, knock your socks off level of remake. It's just like, let's get it working and kind of do some tweaks. And
yeah. And it plays fine. Yeah. You know, I just plant some vegetables and then I water them every day. And then I pull them out of the ground when they're ready to be pulled out of the ground. And I throw them in a bucket and make some money. I have talked to nobody in the village. Everybody's heart level is at zero because all I'm doing is I turn it on. I'm like, yeah, I'm a farm for a little bit. Then I'm going to save and turn it off. And that's basically how I've been playing.
All right. It is the beginning of the year. It's like catch up time.
Basically. Yeah. And I needed to decompress after Cyberpunk.
You mentioned the many hours that you put into it.
Yeah.
What two runs or
two full runs, which were both were technically 100% runs.
Yeah.
But for a glitch in each run, I didn't manage to pop some of this, like the really esoteric achievements, which I don't really care about, but it's done. And it took me 107.8 hours.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I have 32 out of 44 achievements unlocked, and all the ones I don't have unlocked are the really crazy niche ones, like killer incapacitate two enemies with the same sniper rifle shot. No, I don't use sniper rifles.
Oh, okay. All right.
Or killer incapacitate three enemies in quick succession with a revolver or pistol in close combat. I don't get in close combat. Like that kind of thing.
How can you get all the achievements in one run, or is it the kind of game that says, you know, that forces you to do the, you know, get achievements with multiple runs? Because there are those games that will, they're horrible, and they make that happen. It's like, hey, I think Dishonored had the achievements where you go through the game without killing someone or minimal kills, and you go through the game again and you do maximum kills. And it's like,
This doesn't have that. I think all of the achievements are gettable in one run.
Okay.
Maybe with the exception of the endings, if those have their own achievements, but the game saves right before you get to the ending run. So like if you beat an ending, you just load back in right before you choose your ending, basically. Mm. So you could do all the achievements in a run and then do all the endings.
Mm-hmm.
So you could do it. Yeah.
Okay. That's good. Yeah. Good to know. Cool. So that's it. That's all you've been playing?
That's it. I was just playing a little Harvest Moon.
Awesome. I have, I've been, I'm not going to mention the, okay, I'll mention Age of Calamity, just tucking, you know, plucky little game, just tapping it here and there. Let's see. I haven't been playing a whole lot over the last week. I mean, we recorded last Friday, and it's been a hectic week. For many reasons, I've spent way more time watching, you know, the news unfold and the fall of, you know, the fall of American diplomacy and democracy happen.
You guys have like a coup happening.
We had a coup happen the other day. That was kind of crazy. I call it a chicken coup. Actually,
did you see the video of the guy trying to climb the wall? Jet Li.
Oh God!
Dressed like Mario with the Mario music.
So fucking hell. You know what? Good. Yeah, I'm a pacifist when it comes to like a lot of things. Like I'm against violence and all that kind of stuff. Obviously, this thing unnerved me and it made me personally angry and upset and stuff. But and I never like to call people out. You know. But man, it was great to see all those videos pop up, and everybody's doing some phenomenal editing jobs of making these chuds look like chuds.
I'm just you know what my reaction was when that was happening, and then that lady got killed. One of the rioters got killed. Yeah. I was like, are they all going to get charged with felony murder now? Because like that's how it works, right? Like a getaway driver in a bank robbery still gets charged with murder if somebody gets killed, even if they're not in the bank.
In certain aspects, there's like one of the cops got killed by the rioters, and so now they're looking to, you know, they could potentially charge a bunch of those guys for the death of that cop. You know, they're doing a federal investigation, so they're going to do all kinds of stuff. It's going to be. I mean, they've already announced they had like 60 plus arrests that night, and now that number is like ballooning because these dopes are the kinds of folks that they take pictures of themselves and they do selfies and they're posting videos and like, check out my Chivo, check out the lulls I got. I mean, they're literally,
hello, my name is X. I live at X. Yeah. Here's a picture of me with Nancy Pelosi's mail.
Oh God. And then they pick the dude up and they just freaking throw in a slammer. And then the excuse is always like, I just got caught up in the moment. I'm against violence. I love and it's like, dude, no, yeah, sorry. You can't use that excuse.
Or the excuse is, I'm this dude's sister and it was Antifa.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Did you see them? They were dressed in all black. So, I spent a lot of time doing that. But when I did take breaks, I was actually playing the Monster Hunter demo for Monster Hunter Rise drop yesterday. And took down the Switch eShop as well. It's a time demo and you get 30 uses, I think is the way it's set up. And I think I've owned every single Monster Hunter game on Nintendo platforms and never got into it. And I couldn't get into it until I finally figured out how to play Monster Hunter. I wrote an article way back when about figuring out Monster Hunter. I used to take it as just the kind of game. You remember, I used to take it the kind of game where you're just going there and beating monsters up, thinking it was like, just kill monster, play Pokemon, go back. Well, no, it's obviously much more than that. So, and it's been a minute since I played a Monster Hunter game in a while. And so I picked up, I got the demo for this. And first thing I'll say, and I've only gone through it like a couple times so far. It's got a couple of like training missions and a couple hunts that you go on. The training missions are really cool for those of us that are sort of getting back into it and understanding the basics of Monster Hunter, and realizing that it's really about technique and not like just slash away all. And so it does more of explaining that's what it is. Without, it doesn't really hold your hand to get you to know how to do it. It's just saying, hey, this is how you play Monster Hunter, but still go figure it out by yourself. Fuck, the visuals look really good on the Switch. Like, I'm really surprised. And I had it docked on the TV. I was really surprised. And I think they're using the Resident Evil 2 engine. They managed to port that to the Switch. Because the previous Monster Hunter game that was on the Switch was actually like a port of the 3DS game. And the majority of Capcom games have been like old engines and stuff. So they looked really stiff and they looked really like two gens back. But this looked really good. And I was really surprised. Lighting was really nice. The monsters were really fluid. Controls worked well. I used the Pro Controller. But it's Monster Hunter. And they've done a good job of like bridging between older, at least from what I know of, from older Monster Hunter and what I know of the Monster Hunter world. I didn't play Monhunt World, even though I have it sitting on the PS5 now because of whatever. I think it was like a free game or something for PS Plus. But it's really good. I'm kind of interested. I mean, I'll pick it up, and it's got a different, slightly different feel to it than what I've known about Monster Hunter in the past. So I'm kind of digging it. And there's no fucking games coming out between now and whenever, so I figure I'll, maybe I'll get into Monster Hunter. So that's what, played a little bit of that. Yeah, I'm really kind of impressed with what they were able to pull off with that. And I think that demo was only available till January 31st, which is really weird. You can download it to then, and then you have 30 uses total. And if you miss it, you miss it. You're sucked in. You're out of luck until March when it comes back online, when the full game comes out. I think that's basically it. A little bit of Monster Hunter and Picross.
Yeah.
S1 and S2. Again, slow week. I think a lot of folks are just catching up, and I don't want to talk about any of the older games that I've been playing, but a lot of folks are catching up on their backlogs and the stuff that kind of came out over the holidays. I think I mentioned that I picked up Immortals for like $20. And then I picked up
Immortals Phoenix Rising.
And then XCOM 2 for the Switch, also for $20. Again, the hint, and obviously the holidays are over, yada, yada, yada. The hint, every year when you guys are buying your yearly games, is to buy them all the minute they go on sale anywhere. So if it's a new release game or whatever, if it's a game you want, buy them in October. That's when the sales start. And then don't open it or wait. And a lot of places will let you return games or get price adjustments because the prices drop. So if you're able to, wait, buy it, and a lot of times you can buy it and play it. I know this worked at Best Buy for me. Buy it, play it, and then repurchase it if the price drops, and then just return the older version for the higher price. And you get it for a lower price. And I talked to the guy at Best Buy about this. I'm like, hey, listen, why don't you guys let me, if you're letting me return this to January, just give me the price adjustment all the way through. And the folks at the Best Buy store, where I was doing the return for a lot of the games, because that's where I've been doing it, they're totally in the cool. They're like, yeah, that's fine. Just do it. Just return it. There's no issue. Why would you, it's like returning the old one and just buying the new one, except you've already started playing the old one. I'm like, exactly. It's the same games, same UPC code, whatever. So the guy there was like, yeah, we've got to figure out a way to make sure that we're able to do those late price matches and the price changes, because you can't do it online through their site. So anyways, you can do that. It's right now, it's technically legal. I don't know how ethical it is, but it's legal to buy something, play it, and if the price drops within their 3-month price span,
I'm going to make a ruling right here. If where you're doing it is like some giant chain place, like a Best Buy or a Walmart or a GameStop, mm-hmm. I say that's ethical.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Now, if you're...
Eat the rich.
Now, and they make money from just having your cash from the first time. So they've already made money off of me when I bought it at the original price. The shopping idea, if you're buying for yourself, it's great. You can always get the cheapest price. If you're buying for other people, definitely do it this way. Obviously, again, buy it initially and then keep returning it or buying a new one when the price drops and then return the old one, because they're okay with you doing that. You can always get the cheapest price. I think I ended up getting the majority of my gaming stuff from October, like middle of October until end of, you know, or till Christmas. For if I had bought the stuff when it released, I probably would have spent $300, $350 on it. But because I waited and chipped that price down, the prices, I think I got everything for like $130. So it's a pretty good, yeah, it's a pretty good chunk of change. I mean, I don't think I spent more than $30 on any of the games that I wanted just because I was a thrifty shopper. So, yeah, so I got a bunch of games now that I'm going to be playing soon. That's about it. I got one review coming up. Maybe I can talk about that next time, but I don't think I talked about airplane mode. Let me talk about that.
Yeah.
That's an interesting one because, I'm writing these down so I can remember to put them in the post. obviously we haven't been able to travel. I haven't traveled since, March 1st when I flew back from Florida right before everything went to shit. I didn't go to PAX because I was actually on a cruise ship. I didn't go to, and that's when everything went to shit. I didn't go to E3, obviously, GDC, any of that stuff, because it wasn't around. And I've missed the travel lifestyle. I know a lot of folks have. But flying is a part of my travel experience. It totally is. For some reason, I really look forward to flying because it's my space away from humanity. Like I get on a plane, I sit in my seat, and even though there's like farts, you know, airline farts around me or people being loud over in the corner or something, when I'm in the seat and I'm usually like up against the window, I can do whatever I want. I don't have to think. I don't have to worry about work. I can just, it's like meditation time for me, and I love it. And it's, the longer the flight, the better, because I can just chill out. I have nowhere to be. I can't go anywhere because I'm flying in a tube in the air. So airplane mode, there's a couple ways to approach airplane mode. So the game itself lets you fly to Canada, actually. You can fly to like Halifax, which is kind of nice. So there you go, from JFK to Halifax in like a 2-hour flight. Or you can go to Europe, I think like Ireland or something, in a 4.5 or 5-hour flight from JFK. So there are kind of, basically the game has those two lengths, and then it randomizes all the little events that happen, and events could be like turbulence, or it could be a crying baby, or it could be the food that's delivered to you. It's the different passengers that sit next to you, much like a real flight. Well, you're confined to your seat. You have to buckle in. You have access to the tray on the seat back in front of you. You have the stupid infotainment. Sorry, there's like a little fuzzy floating around. The infotainment, your playable character has a satchel that they bring with them that has like a bunch of junk in there, like a book, an iPhone or some like a mobile phone, paper to write on. And it's eerily similar to the shit that I bring with me on a flight. Like I bring a book or a magazine with me. I bring blank paper. The only thing it didn't have was a console, like a gaming device. But I did exactly what I normally did when I played the game. Again, you could play the game just like trying everything and just, you know, the desert bus style where you're literally stuck for like an hour and a half, 2 hours doing nothing. Or you could do it like what I did, which was set the overseas flight and did the kind of initial nesting. So I got into the virtual seat, buckled, flipped through the magazine or the in-flight magazine, the book that I was reading. I actually read some of that book there, which is kind of cool. Did some little doodles. And then when I finally got done with that, I put everything away and I turned on the in-flight entertainment device, which I think they had like a couple old, Creative Commons movies, stuff that had gone out of trademark, movies from like the 30s. Popped one of those on. I had my headphones in there and I started watching that a little bit and pulled out my actual Switch and started playing my Switch. So I'm experiencing the game as if I'm in an actual flight because I have the headphones on and I'm playing my Switch and I'm playing like, I think it was Age of Calamity or whatever I was playing on my Switch. And I'm literally playing two games at once, but I'm experiencing airline mode as if I was actually on the plane. And every so often you hear something in the game and I looked up from my Switch and I stare, look around the airplane to see something and then go back down and play. And then at one point in actuality, I got kind of tired playing games and playing the airline mode. So I let airline mode go and kind of leaned my head up against the wall because I was actually at, where I was playing the game was like in a corner. Leaned up against the wall as if I was on the plane and started dozing off a little bit and kind of snapped out and thought, holy shit, this is exactly my stupid flight experience in real life taking place virtually with the plane. And it was just so bizarre. And it was like actually fucking flying. It really was without, like I said, without smelling the farts inside the airplane. So it's not a game. It's kind of an experiential thing, but weirdly worth checking out if you haven't flown anywhere in a while, because everything comes roaring back to you. Like all the little nuances of a flight come, bulldozing in your head. So yeah.
Does the game have a VR mode?
I don't know if it does. I don't think it does. I didn't play it in VR mode if it did.
That seems like the thing, you know what I mean? Like you really want to get into airplane mode, like slap the VR headset on and then you're actually sitting in the seat.
Yeah, I don't think there's a VR mode actually.
I got to get on that.
Which is really, yeah, you're right. I'm not seeing it. Yep. It's that seems like it would be the perfect thing. It would be to have a VR mode. Yeah. Missed opportunity there, guys. If you need new marketing or developers, you can hire Aaron.
Yeah, I'm always available for hire. I'll do anything for money.
Yes, he will. But yeah, so it's not a good game. It's not like fun, but I don't think it's meant to be fun. And I think,
well, I mean, it's a game in the same way like Desert Bus is a fun game.
Yeah. It's not meant to be a 10 out of 10 Zelda killer or Half-Life Alyx or anything. It's just like, hey, check this out. It's going to be a 7 out of 10 because that's all it can ever really be. So yeah, that's what I've been playing. Any news? Is there any news this time of year?
Yeah, there's a couple of things. I'm not going to go too deep into this first one. Capcom released their new policy for video content based on their games for like streamers and content creators and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And if I switched Capcom's name out with a lot of other companies, this story would be pretty shitty. Like, if this story was Atlas releases their video policy on for content creators, chances are I'd be talking about incredibly heavy-handed restrictions. But no, Capcom, their restrictions are pretty reasonable. They basically say there's a little bit of nuance to it, but they basically say if you're doing anything with any video content from any of our games and you're actually doing something with it, like talking over it or incorporating it into a video, that's fine. Like just go for it. You can't just post straight up footage.
Yeah.
And they also say, they actually have exceptions to it. There are no commercialization policy. They're like, you can't just make money off our shit, except in these cases. And then all of these cases are here it is. Permissible monetization. You may monetize through partner programs and or advertising from YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, or other video sharing services. So there's your ad revenue right there for making a video with a Capcom game. Collecting voluntary contributions, such as through Super Chat on YouTube and bits on Twitch, is permitted as long as your video is also available for free to the public on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, Twitter, or other video sharing sites. So basically, they're saying you can't put your shit like as a Patreon exclusive.
Okay. All right.
Like if anybody can watch your stuff and you also happen to make money off people watching your stuff, you're good. Which is, I don't want to use the word generous, but compared to the way some other companies have gone, like, that's pretty reasonable. Capcom has a couple of cool games out there. Like,
yeah.
Like, if you're a fighting game streamer, or if you're a Monster Hunter streamer, like, congratulations. You get to stop worrying.
It actually is better than, yeah, a lot of the, I mean, it's better than anything Nintendo does.
Yeah.
With as constrictive as a lot of these companies are with their content. I mean, Nintendo just took the, I don't know, was that one going to be when you use Nintendo taking on all that stuff?
Nah, I don't give a shit, man. Okay. I try never to include Nintendo information for you guys.
You know it's going to end up right. No, Nintendo took down, I think they raided one of the, one of the fan sites and took down like 130 or something crazy, a bunch, like over 100 projects that fans had created. And literally fan made projects that were, potentially using some Nintendo characters and stuff. You know, Mario teaches ironing. I don't know. And that was enough to piss a bunch of people off. But then you have Capcom, who's definitely seems like they're trying to work with content creators and figure out how to utilize their IP. You do have some companies out there, especially a lot of indies as well, because a lot of folks are just trying to get their name out there. Folks like, like the Among Us developers, Intersoft, they're like, hey, go do whatever you want to do. The bigger corporations tend to be much more restrictive or constrictive or whatever, not constructive. And so it's good to, I mean, I don't want to say it's good for Capcom, because there are some, there's some things, details on that aren't perfect, but it's a sign that at least they kind of understand what people want to do with their
content. Yeah. And they in the following section from what I was just reading, they actually have a list of what they consider impermissible uses.
Yes. Yeah.
And even that is like very reasonable. They're like, they're like, you can't, no pre-release content. If so, if somebody leaks a game and you like try and do some shit with that, like that's a no-no, which fair enough. If you're making a video about like hacks or cheats or whatever, like that's a no-no. And I think there's an exception to that if you're doing it for educational purposes, because there are some video streamers out there who will rip like through a cheat program and be like, hey, here's how it does it, and here's why it does it, and here's why this works. Sure. Shit like that. I think those are still okay.
Okay.
Inappropriate content, including content or mods that are illegal by law in your country, racist, sexist, prejudicial to sexual orientation, sexually explicit, disparaging, promotes hate crimes, or is otherwise offensive and is not tolerated. And they say those will be reviewed taken a run at on a case-by-case basis. So again, if there's a reason, probably educational, why you might be crossing that line, they might be fine with it. And they don't want anybody making video content based on stuff that comes with games. So like books that come with the game, like manuals or whatever, which, yeah, sure. Fair enough. And that's it. That's basically it. That's their policy is like less than a page long. They're like, here it is. And it's super easy to read. Yeah. So congratulations, Capcom, on having one of the fairest video content creation policies out there.
Better than CD Projekt. That's for sure.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of CD Projekt, and speaking of mods, because I very quickly mentioned that in the Capcom thing, you hear what happened there?
No.
So a modder went in, they found out that, so in CD Projekt Red, it's an open world game, which means there's romances.
Yeah.
The characters in the game have very specific sexual orientations. They're not all like bisexual, basically. So if you play a male character, there's characters that you can't romance because they're into women, or they're only in, or they're gay. So you can't romance them as a female character. One of the characters who is a lesbian in that game is a character named Judy. And a modder went in and found all of the romance lines that you would hear as a female character in that game recorded by the male voice actor.
Oh, wow.
So they were, so people got pissed about that. They were like, this is censorship. It's cut content, blah, 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 blah. And CD Projekt had to come out and say like, no, it was just easier on our back end if we didn't have places where the dialogue was skipped male to female. Sure, so we wouldn't miss anything. I just think that's funny that there's like a full, like the, everything is voice acted. So like there's the full range of that relationship as a male in there, which is pretty funny.
That's but cool. Yeah, I understand from the technical standpoint. Yeah. Why that,
I get it from a technical standpoint. The reason I mostly included it is because like that's just, it seems like it would cost more money.
Yeah. And a lot of times they will do that stuff, because of the way their software databases are set up in the thing, you know.
M_V_JudyRomanceLine1
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Sure. That's kind of it. There's the one that isn't really news. You hear about that Mario thing? Because you mentioned Nintendo earlier.
Mario thing.
Nintendo had a website up, like something Mario related, and somebody recognized that they were using his own render.
It was for Mario. The Super Nintendo World, yeah.
Yeah, they were using, instead of using one of their official like Mario sprites or renders or art or anything like that, they were using the render that he came up with himself however many years ago.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
That's
when you have an intern that's just like typing in Mario. Oh, there it is. Download and
I just like that didn't really seem like news to me, but just considering how aggressive they are with people using their content, it just seemed funny to me that they wouldn't use their own creative content.
What likely happened is that it was Universal that put that together, and they didn't have they didn't have the same checks and balances that that Nintendo might have. Like, for instance, Nintendo, they may have been waiting on renders and content to come over from Nintendo, so they're starting to put together the website. And I've done stuff like this before. Start putting a website together, and you have filler content in there, and I might hop online and just do a quick search for, you know, I don't know, Mario, whatever. Let's say Mario. And I'm like, okay, there's one that kind of looks like what we're going to be putting in, you know. So, and I drop it in there, and then at some point, Nintendo or the customer, the client, will send over their final renderings, and you might forget, or you might think, I already put it in there. Or at the same time, you might just say, well, the one I have in there is good enough. You know, I can't. It's from the internet. It's got to be right. It's got to be looks accurate. So why bother changing it? So it could have been that type of situation, because I have a feeling that the site was likely built by like Universal Studios or whoever, and then they probably just didn't check with Nintendo when the final assets were being brought in. I don't know. That's the way some things work, but that's how some goofs happen. But at the same time, it could have just been like some dude going, I'm just going to Google search Mario, Luigi, Donkey Kong, and just grab those images. And I'm sure they're all coming from, you know, Wikipedia. The PNG file is on Wikipedia. It's got to be legit. So I'll just use those.
So just I just typed in Mario on Google and went to the image, and the very first result is that render.
Oh, there you go. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. That is exactly what could have happened. So they probably just typed in Mario, that came up, and then instead of waiting for the official assets. That's whatever. Incredible. I mean, I have no idea. It's conjecture on my point, but
So there was that. The only other thing I have open in a tab right now is Metacritic released an article saying Metacritic users picked the best of 2020.
Huh.
And first off, the reason that makes me laugh is, hey, out of the top 10 movies of the year, how many of them do you think are above, say, a 70 critic rating?
Of the top 10 movies of the year?
Yeah.
God, I don't even know what movies were out this year. I don't know, 10?
Yeah, you were close. 9 of them are above 870. Almost all of them are in the high 70s, except for the number one movie, which is Tenet, which has a 69 critic rating. But apparently users loved it. Number one for votes from users was Tenet with 1,113. The next one, number two, was a movie called Soul with 636.
Oh, that's a Disney Plus movie that wasn't in theaters. That was released on Christmas Day on the Disney Plus. That's interesting. Okay.
Yeah. But so they also have a category for games.
Okay.
What do you think number one was?
Last of Us 2.
Yep.
Okay.
It had 10,194 points from users.
That controversy leading up to it.
Yeah. What do you think number two was?
Ghost of Tsushima.
It was. How many points do you think it had?
How much was Last of Us?
Last of Us Part 2 was 10,194 points.
I'm going to say Ghost of Tsushima was 8,700 points.
It was close. It was close. It was 2,079.
Not very close. Thanks. No,
it's just a massive drop off.
Wow.
It's basically from 2 through 15, there's like a very obvious linear progression, and then it's 8,000 more points than the next contender, Last of Us Part 2.
Dr. Ruckman.
What do you think number 3 was? I'll stop after.
I'm going to say it was Animal Crossing.
No, Animal Crossing was number 8.
Okay.
Number 3. You want to take another guess?
Take another guess. Okay, let's see. I'm trying to think of a Final Fantasy 7.
Nope, that was number 6.
One more try. Oh shit. I don't know what else came out. Assassin's Creed.
Assassin's Creed was number 11.
Fuck. Okay, what was it?
Cyberpunk 2077.
You gotta be fucking kidding me. Did they play it on Stadia? Is that what happened?
In fairness to Metacritic, they actually do show the critic ratings per platform for the games where applicable. So Last of Us Part 2 has 10,000 points and it shows the critic rating of 93 on the PS4, PS4 exclusive. Ghost of Tsushima, same thing, PS4 83, critic rating. Amount of points. Cyberpunk 2077, 1,691 points. So, 300 points less than Ghost of Tsushima. PC, critic rating, 86. PS4, critic rating, 56. Whoa. Xbox One, critic rating, 61.
Oh. Lovely. Yeah. Lovely.
It is, on this entire article, it is the only option across any of the categories that has like the color of the ratings included are yellow. Everything else is in the green.
Wow. That's awesome. Well, I mean, we know because of the way they handle their marketing that Cyberpunk's marketing is all yellow. So that's where so it ties in perfectly.
The list is, I'll just read out the top 10. And cause it's actually not a bad list, honestly. Starting from number 10, Marvel Spider-Man, Miles Morales. Number 9, Ori and the Will of the Wisps.
Okay.
Number 8, Animal Crossing. Number 7, Demon's Souls. Number 6, Final Fantasy VII Remake. Number 5, Doom Eternal. Number 4, Hades. Number 3, Cyberpunk 2077.
Mm.
Number 2, Ghost of Tsushima. And number 1, Last of Us Part 2. So, like, not honestly, not a bad list.
Yeah.
Except for number 3.
Except for number 3.
Which and is honestly, if you swapped 3 and 10, I'd probably be okay with that list. Swap Miles Morales with Cyberpunk, put Cyberpunk at 10.
I think you're right. Yep. Yeah.
I'd be okay with that list. Yeah. So anyway.
That's funny.
That's Metacritic. That's the year of Metacritic. And I don't have anything else. There's still not a lot of news happening right now.
That's all. I mean, I don't have anything.
No, like all of the other news, everything else that I could have included is a lot of shit like, oh, this thing made this much money this year.
Yeah.
Oh, this thing made this much money this year. It's like, that's not interesting.
It's not interesting news. I'm going to go out on a limb and say we'll maybe start getting stuff in a couple of weeks. I'm hopeful because it was an election year. A lot of people were tied up with holidays and new console launches. And
there was a coup.
There was a coup attempt. I'm hopeful in a couple weeks here after, around U.S. inauguration time, because it does a lot for business actually having an inauguration smoothly go over. I think people are kind of waiting until after that and then you'll start seeing. At least for gaming introductions. I know there's delays and all kinds of stuff that get announced, but for gaming, like major gaming introductions and info, you may see some like dumb things happen here and there, or, you know, the studio collapses or something. I don't know, but I don't think you'll see anything super major. Hope not until then.
If you want to date this podcast in such a way that you can probably find out exactly when we're recording, hey, Donald Trump just got a third Twitter account suspended.
Oh my God, which ones?
So he got himself suspended.
Yeah.
He then around the time we started the show, logged into the President of the United States account, repasted his own tweet and got a ban within 15 seconds. And third on the docket, at Team Trump, repasted the same tweet and got suspended. According to a Twitter spokesperson, as we've said, using another account to try and evade a suspension is against our rules. We've permanently suspended the at Team Trump account.
You know what's funny is it's the folks that are upset are the ones that are the same people that say, well, if you play by the rules, you wouldn't get in trouble. Guess what? If you play by the rules, I don't think you'd get in trouble. But whatevs. Good riddance. Sorry, but not sorry.
Definitely not sorry.
Definitely not sorry. We're not for trolls. There's no other news. I'm going to play games. I'm actually going to finish up some work stuff over here.
I'm going to lay down.
A bit of a late night. And then you're going to lay down. Yeah, you need to. I'm going to play some games. I've got Final Fantasy VII loaded up upstairs on the PS5.
Yeah. You like my new robe?
Dude, I think that could be your new thing, is to podcast in a robe. Where did you get that robe from? Was that your
I got it for Christmas. I asked for a robe last year.
Nice.
Or 2 years ago. I don't know. I think I mentioned on the show before, the first apartment that I was living in was incredible. Like, the walls weren't insulated, so it was exceptionally cold in the winter. And I had asked for a robe. And so one of my family members was like, yeah, I'll get him a robe. Why not? But it was too short for me. It was too tight in the shoulders.
Sure.
So
like, exactly.
Yeah, totally.
I only got you a double XL at that time.
Yeah, pretty much. Honestly. Yeah. But no, it was too tight in the shoulders, so I could put it on, but then my arms were just kind of stuck like this. I couldn't do this. So this year, my mom and my stepdad got a robe that was essentially twice as big. So it actually like hangs on me like a trench coat. Like, it comes down past my knees and the sleeves are long enough and I can actually. Dude.
Now you got me.
And it's shiny.
It'd be freaking nice to get, like, I gotta see if there's a way to make like monogram side questing robes, like,
yeah,
SQ, and then each of our initials. Oh, dude, that could be.
Hit up your Twitter contacts, because they make those, they get those like monogram your Twitch contacts, because they make like those monogrammed and like designed Twitch clothes for their most popular streamers. I bet they have like a company that they.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's not a bad idea.
Hit up Mary Kish.
Let's do Mary Kish. Let's message her and figure out how to do this. Get these Twitter side questings, Twitter robes.
That's totally.
2021, the year of the robe. I like that. You started a trend here. This is good. I think next week I'm gonna start with a robe. I will wear clothing underneath it though, because
I'm wearing clothing underneath it.
You gotta stay warm. What are robes if not wearable blankets?
Yeah. It's like a Snuggie, except cool.
Yeah, exactly. Robes are indoor jackets. They're Snuggies, except cool. They're wearable blankets. Perfect. See? All right. I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let our wonderful viewers go. Thank you for everybody that hopped on and listened and watched. We were able to knock this out. What's the time? Under an hour, because there's nothing to talk about unless you want to doom scroll through Twitter.
I do.
But you can find me at Dolly Domovsky. Where can we find you, Aaron?
You can find me on Twitch and Twitter at Scratty Bones.
You can find us at SideQuesting and SideQuesting TV over at Twitch, and SideQuesting on YouTube. That we actually got the name SideQuesting. We'll see you guys next time on the SideQuest. Maybe we'll do our big prediction special. It'll be kind of fun. All right. Peace, everybody. See you. Bye-bye.
Farewell.
Choices kill my head. Day now, these are the